tricks are out there, as are the treats on this Halloween edition of I Want to Believe here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. What's up, guys? My name is Spooky Shannon Young, and I'm here tonight to host the festivities the day before Halloween. We were going to do this on Halloween, but because of our Halloween party, we decided to do it the day before, and that way we can just watch Tales from the Hood 2 and eat candy.
Yay!
Yes.
With me tonight, as always, Calvin Hebert.
What's up?
Creepy Calvin Hebert.
That, I don't know if I'm approving of that.
We have,
You didn't think about these beforehand, did you?
No, I'm just winging it like we always do. Let's start, what's something starts with an A? Haunting Alley Hebert.
That does not start with an A.
It's an H. You have an H in your name, so it works too. And then, of course, Lousy Lint. No, that's not scary.
So
that's just
mean.
The Lich Queen, Lindsay Wolfgang.
I am freezing right now.
Do you raise the dead?
Maybe. I feel like I'm dead right now.
She's raised the dead a number of times. In the bed when it didn't get erect.
I get the, okay. Yeah.
Well, we've already ruined the Halloween festivities for tonight. Good night, kids. No, we have a fun show tonight. We got a lot of Halloween stuff because it is Halloween tomorrow. And even though Halloween kind of sucks in Cape Girardeau because not a lot of people get in the Halloween spirit, at least not on the streets. You know, you walk down the streets and it's just, you couldn't tell it's Halloween. There's a couple pumpkins out. But for the most part, no one gives a shit.
There are lights all down Broadway.
Yeah. I want more.
Well, I mean, that's fair.
He wants a parade.
It almost feels like low-key Christmas more than Halloween.
Yeah, it's like, orange Christmas is what it is. What I want is I want like actual ghosts to walk the streets at night, like, you know.
So he wants Ghostbusters 2 to happen.
Well, Ghostbusters 2 did happen.
And the lights they have on Broadway, orange or pink?
Supposed to be pink because
they do
breast cancer.
Yeah, they
could be pink.
Also,
do
we're
pink
no
lights.
Well, God.
Yeah.
You're not raising awareness for breast cancer. I already know about breast cancer. Why don't you raise awareness for Halloween?
You already know about Halloween.
Apparently they don't. Because I don't feel I'm in the Halloween spirit, but whatever. I'm a grumpy Gus anyway. Let's get to the stories of the night. Later on in the evening, we're going to talk about Halloween itself and give you some history of Halloween and some fun facts you might not have known, but we have a couple stories we want to run through there before that. This first one you may have heard about on the news. This is from WSB-TV, and I think this one's pretty interesting and kind of creepy. Construction workers at a South Georgia site found a building with bite. Oh, that's terrible. Who writes these things? I would have written something better. The laborers were preparing commercial space at a building in downtown Valdosta. Why did I make that Russian? This is in Georgia. When they found approximately 1,000 teeth buried into a second floor wall, the Valdosta Daily Times reported.
Did they find a nest for the tooth fairy?
That's more interesting than the real reason. A photo of the discovery at the TB Converse building has been shared more than 1,500 times on Facebook as of midnight Thursday. Dustin Merriman, project manager for Converse, told the newspaper that the teeth have been removed and disposed, but why were the teeth in the walls in the first place? Well, according to Harry Evans, researcher for the Lowndes County Historical Society Museum, the building's first tenant in 1900 was Clarence Whittington, a dentist.
Dentist.
Lester G. Hugh Mann came to Valdosta in 1911 and remained a tenant in the building at least 1930, Evans told the Daily Times. So apparently, these dentists were just storing their teeth in the
walls. They weren't properly getting rid of their biohazards.
That's weird. Like, why would you do that?
Why would they
teeth?
Just be like, let's just, you know, put these teeth in the wall?
Now, interesting. There have been people that have left things behind that are interesting and fun. Like when we worked at GameStop and we left the binder full of black porn in the wall for whoever moved into the building next. Now, that's fun. That's a fun.
I forgot about that.
That's a fun discovery. But then there was the crematorium.
Unless it's like Hallmark that gets...
No, it was a women's clothing
store
that broke in when they were ripping the thing apart.
Yeah.
We really wanted to just sit outside the store and wait until if they found it.
Wait for someone to find it. But then you have places like that crematorium years ago. You remember where they found hundreds of decomposing, rotting bodies because the guy would take the bodies for cremation, not cremate them, and then just bury them in his yard or put them in a shed. And then he would take the money, but he would never cremate them. And then he would just give, like,
ashes
to the people. And then
why?
I guess to save money.
But, like,
But you still have all those stinking rotting bodies.
Yeah, you're just...
He lived with those rotting bodies for years.
That's so creepy. That's
so gross. This, apparently the stench was so bad from all the decay and rot that the police could barely go into the
place. I wonder why.
Did he continue to scam people until he got caught?
Yeah.
How did, like, stenches stick to people?
How did, well, maybe
if you live in that stench, you smell like it.
Yeah, but I'm sure any rational person, if somebody smelled that bad, wouldn't automatically assume, I think this guy's not, you know, disposing of the bodies properly.
Just doesn't properly
right. They
bathe.
They would think he's just a filthy person.
Still probably go to someone else to,
or just like let him take the body to get him away from you. Like that would be my go cremate them. Go just. Get away.
Yeah, here's your money. Just please get out of my general vicinity. Yeah.
Stinky McStinkerton.
Yeah, so that's a pretty disturbing story. The teeth, kind of silly, but yeah, that story was pretty weird. And that, even though it has nothing to do, like it's not paranormal in any way, there was that flood years ago that popped the graves, the coffins out of the graves, and literally there were coffins and bodies
raising
floating
out
down the river. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It reminded me of the ending of Poltergeist. I mean, that's just a creepy, as weird as it sounds, I would love to see something like that.
No, that's why.
It'd be very cool.
Isn't it Louisiana? They don't.
Oh, yeah. There are parts of the world where they don't bury people
because of flooding.
It floods so much.
I would love to go to Louisiana.
That's why mausoleums are.
Yeah.
And like stone crypts. Yeah.
The catacombs in Paris was not related to that.
That was just in catacombs.
That was just a lot
in
of
Dark
death.
Souls.
That's a different catacombs. Your catacombs, much scarier.
Well, I mean, the skeletons aren't that scary. They just
have you ever seen the movie As Above, So Below?
I liked that movie.
It sounds familiar, but I don't think so.
It's based around the Paris catacombs and that a group goes under.
Oh, yeah.
It's a pretty good movie. I've
seen documentaries, but.
Yeah, and there's an actual video. You've probably seen the actual video of a guy who went exploring in the catacombs, and he's filming and he's running. And the last part of the film is him just like hyperventilating. He's like losing control and he's running and panicking. And then he drops the camera and just runs. And they never found the guy. They found his camera.
Mm-hmm.
And no one knows why. What
I remember
happened?
You showing me that?
Yeah,
video.
He just disappeared. So
it was unsettling.
I mean, it's no surprise that a place that is literally built with the bones of the dead would be haunted.
Well,
if Supernatural's taught me anything, is you burn those bones, get
that
rid of
just,
the evil spirit.
That just releases more evilness. Like that's
you're taking the Return of the Living Dead logic, where when
it
they
makes the toxin
yeah,
gas
when they burn the bodies, that it goes up into the air, and then it rains more radiation or whatever into the ground, which raises more zombies.
It rains ectoplasm, and like that's not good for the sewers.
Have we ever did we put Return of the Living Dead on the list of movies you need to watch?
I don't know.
I feel like we have. If we didn't, do yourself a favor and go watch Return of the Living Dead. It's an amazing zombie movie. I think, for me, arguably the best zombie movie, although, you know, obviously Day of the Dead and Dawn of the Dead and Night of the Living Dead, very special place in my heart. All
not
right.
Shaun of the Dead?
I love Shaun of the Dead.
It's too much of a comedy for me, though. I like my horror.
I like
to be
that whole
horror
trilogy, but.
Oh, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and. I don't remember
the end of the world.
It's called This is the or End of the World, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, where they go to the bar and it's aliens or something.
Spoiler
alert.
It's aliens.
Yeah. Weird movie. All right, this is from National Geographic. They released their 2018 list of the most haunted places in America. And I know this because I was looking up haunted places in Missouri that we could potentially break into. But I couldn't find bolt
cutters.
We
do not condone crimes.
We really don't condone crimes. Leave it to the professionals.
Do not break and enter.
It's funny you say something like leave it to the professionals when it comes to ghost hunting. But what makes the Ghost Adventures crew professionals? They have no degrees.
Paid for it.
They have someone get permission to let them in.
Technically, like to be a professional, you have to get paid for it.
Yeah, I guess. But if I gave you $50 to go break into that place, then would you be paid for it?
Yes.
So you'd be a professional.
That doesn't make it legal.
Yeah.
Like that I'm just saying. So no one takes the world of like parapsychology and paranormal investigations seriously. And it's because you have people like the Ghost Adventures crew running around and challenging ghosts to fights. Yeah. That's why no one respects the science. Like, there should be a science behind
it. You saying you wouldn't fight a ghost?
I would definitely fight a ghost.
It's me, your boy.
Don't even. You absolutely disgust me. You disgust everyone at this panel.
I thought it was funny.
So, National Geographic's list of the most haunted places in America. Some of these will not be surprising, and some of them you may be unfamiliar with. Salem, Massachusetts, for obvious reasons.
Yeah. Gee, I wonder.
Yeah, they had some kind of problem. I don't. I think it was vampires. I'm not for sure. Could be the mummy.
The mummy.
One mummy.
That singular mummy.
One bastard.
In Salem.
Yeah.
Massachusetts.
The Salem mummy.
He really wanted to go to the Sizzler, but they wouldn't let him. Oh, come on.
That one's over my head. You're going to have to explain it to me.
Aqua Teen, when they take home the mummy.
Oh, did they go to the Sizzler?
He wanted steak.
Okay, I guess I've never been to Sizzler. The LaLaurie Mansion in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Nolens.
That Louisiana, especially New Orleans, is super haunted.
Yeah. Again, above ground crypts and stuff.
Voodoo.
Yeah.
Voodoo was very big down there. The St. Louis Cemetery is supposedly extremely haunted. The Shanghai Tunnels in Portland, Oregon, which I had never heard of. Actually, I have it pulled up. I'm trying to remember why they said that place was haunted. I think it had something to do with slave trading. Yeah. Shanghaiing, a form of human trafficking. And apparently it's haunted by the people that, you know, were traded. Ugh, creepy. Eastern State Penitentiary in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia.
Philly.
Love to go there. Like, I don't think there's been a single person that's gone to that place that hasn't come out with evidence of the paranormal. Like, even just regular camera crews from TV shows, like news channels. Maury Povich's news crew went in there to film for one of his haunted episodes, and they caught stuff on film. So, like, that place is just, you know, take a skeptic there, see what happens. The RMS Queen Mary, Long Beach, California. I saw a really good show. Did I ever told you about the show Sightings?
Yes.
That aired in the 90s on Fox. They went there with a psychic. I forget his name. He's a very well-known psychic and caught a lot of great evidence. So that's very cool. Lizzie Borden, Bed and Breakfast in Fall River, Massachusetts. Do you know who Lizzie Borden is, Lindsay?
Yes, I do.
Allie?
The name.
Oh, God, no. Calvin, you don't know who Lizzie Borden is either?
I don't think so, but your reaction was.
Say.
Like, yeah. I'm actually surprised that you've never heard of Lizzie Borden. I'm sure you know what the story
is. The thing that is famous might be different from the name.
No, it's definitely Lizzie Borden killed her parents.
She is the one who did it.
She murdered her parents with an axe. And and never went to jail for it. She got away with it. Like, they say she haunts her family or she haunts the place. But yeah, Lizzie Borden, I mean, it's one of the most famous murders in American history. So that's why I'm surprised. Like, not from the paranormal side. I'm just surprised you guys have never heard of Lizzie Borden.
That's the name's familiar, but I couldn't place it on anything.
Maybe it's a generational thing. And Lindsay, I want to bring up, because you and I are roughly the same age, I don't know where I heard about Lizzie Borden now that I think about
either.
It. I didn't hear about it in school.
It was always pop culture references.
Yeah, I just always heard about Lizzie Borden. But they never taught us about Lizzie Borden. So that's...
For obvious reasons. I mean,
they don't teach you fun stuff.
Kind of like, I don't think anyone really taught me about Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, it's Jeffrey Dahmer you saw in the news at the time. Well, actually, that was probably a little bit before your time.
Yeah, we wouldn't have been around for that.
But, well, you might have been. When were you born?
Well, I wouldn't have been paying attention to TV at that time.
You wouldn't have been cognizant of it at the time. But Lizzie Borden, I forget when she murdered her family. 1800s?
That's what I'm thinking, 1800s.
Let's see. I'm going to look it up real quick because
like
I should
Victorian
be listening
Victorian era.
August 4th, day after my birthday, 1892, the bodies of Andrew and Abby Borden were discovered bludgeoned beyond recognition in their home. The prime suspect, their youngest daughter, Lizzie. The Borden case was one of America's first crimes to unfold under the media spotlight, capturing the attention of the nation. There was a trial, and she was never convicted.
So.
It's a, no one was ever charged for the Borden murders. I thought there was a trial. Huh. See? Mandela effect. Didn't even know. The Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado, which is?
I don't know.
You have to
give a hint on what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Like
they filmed a very famous horror movie there.
Oh, okay. I know what it is.
Then say it.
Estes
Shining.
Damn it. I was hoping it was going to be one of those things where she was like, I know what it is. And then I say, well, then say it. And she goes, I don't know.
As soon as she said hotel.
Yeah, it was the Overlook Hotel in The Shining.
The one that the hedge maze?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
With Jack Nicholson, where he hits the door with the axe and says, here's Johnny.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember that scene. I was just trying to think of the place.
Oh, right.
You should know that scene. They've turned it into how many different memes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it was referenced on The Simpsons in the best Halloween episode, Treehouse of Horror. They did a Ghost Hunter special once there, live. And this is back when I worked at Stephen Barry's, and I was watching it live. You remember John?
I was going to say, that's when John called you or texted you or something, like so, freaking out.
So we're watching, he's watching it live at his house. I'm watching it live at my house. And they're down in the tunnels, like below the Overlook Hotel. Or I keep calling it the Overlook. It's actually the sand. Like the whole Overlook is what they call it in the movie. And you hear a voice like say, get out or something like that. And all of a sudden my phone just starts buzzing as John's like, did you hear that? Why didn't we just watch this together? And I don't know how to pronounce this, so I'm going to mispronounce it. The Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum in
Allegheny.
How would you know?
Because there's an Allegheny River in Pennsylvania.
I'll give it to you. Lunatic Asylum in Weston, West Virginia. I know nothing about that place. Now, if you're local to the Podzilla...
it's an asylum, so...
Yeah, like every asylum should be haunted, technically. Like, legally, they have to be.
Order to be considered an asylum?
Yes.
That's...
The deaths.
A benchmark.
If you're in Cape Girardeau or the surrounding area, I did bring up a couple of places that you might want to visit locally because we do have a lot of local listeners. And if you're going to be out tomorrow, don't break into these places. But if you can get a tour through it or something like that, it's very cool. The Glen House.
Yep.
That's the place you talked about, right?
Yeah. I have a couple of people. I talked about the one story where my teacher's husband heard someone say, don't push me, and then found out that someone either died or got seriously injured by falling down the stairs or being pushed down the stairs. And one of my coworkers used to work there during the Christmas times because they like decorate it and do all this stuff around Christmas. And his only story is that one time he was taking something upstairs, and as soon as he hit the first, like the top step, all the hairs on his neck and back stood up, and it like just gave him the creepiest feeling ever. And he took his foot off, it went away, put his foot back, came back, and he ran out.
Lorimer Cemetery in Cape Girardeau. That's not the one we went to. We went to New Lorimer.
The one was the one that was gated off.
That's the one we couldn't get into. Yeah, Rose Theater at SEMO.
Mm-hmm.
Arcadia Academy in Arcadia, Missouri, which is about an hour from here. Limp Mansion in St. Louis, which Allie and I went to.
Yes.
And one of the coolest things I've ever done in my life, because we said it on the show before, like the energy when you walk in, I've never felt anything like it before. And we did catch a picture that we couldn't explain. So that was exciting. Zombie Road in Wildwood, which we were 10 minutes from, literally, when we stayed at the Wildwood Hotel. And the Rosebud Inn here in Cape Girardeau, which is permanently closed. Can't go to it. So.
Is that the one the news had a picture of on their Facebook?
Possibly.
I wasn't paying attention to it that closely. I just saw like a haunted thing, and it was a house looking.
I left Bloomfield Road off because they do say it's the most haunted road in Missouri, but I still don't believe it. So tell us.
I have driven on it quite a lot. So
how many ghosts did you see? Any Bigfoots? UFOs?
Did you drive on it in the Dalhousie area? Because I think that's the part of the road that's supposed to be haunted.
What area is the Dalhousie area?
It's the one like that you're almost feel like you're going out of town, and then you see all these like super nice houses.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's where I almost drove the car off the road.
Good because job. Of a ghost?
No, because of snow.
Oh. Ghost snow?
Yeah. It was Frostlass?
How could you tell?
According to The Sun, 3 in 5 people believe that they have come face to face with a ghost at some point in their lifetime. As well as seeing a spook in real life, 40% of people think their pets have had a ghostly encounter. Lots of videos online of pets reacting to things that aren't there. Even Hunter, I think yesterday or the day before, he tagged me in the group chat and said that Parker got up and started barking at someone like they were there when there was absolutely no one.
Well, I've watched our cat like growl and mew at things while staring at the ceiling and nothing's there.
I watched my cat play with nothing. Like someone was there playing with her.
That's because your cat's just nuts. Your cat's just crazy. Our cat's sane. The Dear David story that I love to tell from Adam Ellis, the cartoonist, one of the big evidence points he has are his cats that get up in the middle of the night and go stare at the door and meow at it, even though no one's there, because he says that it's the ghost of the child that's outside. And it's really hard to condition animals to do what you want them to do, especially cats. Mm-hmm. You cannot get a cat to go do what you want. Nothing works. You can't bribe them. You can't reason with them. I mean, cats do not abide by the laws of nature.
You can get them to go to treats.
Sometimes. People's way of dealing with ghosts aren't far from those in the movies. The typical reactions to seeing a ghost is fainting, screaming, crying, or running away. Women, despite being more likely to see a ghost by 20%, which I thought was interesting, are also twice more likely to scream and run away.
Well, yeah. Have you met me?
I think it's weird that women are more likely to see a ghost by 20%, and I wonder why.
That is weird.
Is it like
empathy?
Women's intuition?
I don't know.
Is that a real thing?
Or we're all just nuts.
That could also just be a sample size thing.
True.
Because there are more women than men.
That's what I hate about those kind of studies. The study conducted by one... Well, here's how you know it's legit. Here's the dagger. The study was conducted by one poll on behalf of Groupon, and they also found that 1 in 3 people believe their house is haunted. Common experiences shared among ghost sightings are seeing figures in Victorian clothing, even if there were never people in Victorian clothing there.
Even if their house was never around in that period.
Being pulled out of bed and seeing visions of loved ones who have passed away. One person said that they saw a child with black eyes run across the floor, and another said they saw a shadow of a human figure walk around and then disappear. Slightly more bizarre encounters include seeing a ghost in the microwave.
What? Are you sure they weren't seeing their reflection in the door?
And there was no context to that. I looked it up.
Or, like, was it the ghost of his food?
The food that he just ate, and he missed it.
Did they put some tinfoil in there?
It was his loved ones. Or maybe he was baking one of Zach Kirkus's brownies.
Well.
If you know what I mean. And I think you do. Weed.
All right. I got that.
So, today, or no, this is a little while back. People.com posted their Haunted Stories of America, Iconic Ghosts of the Union, listing famous ghost stories and places from all 51 states. How many states are there? It's 51, right? Is it 52? No, that's a deck of cards.
Wow.
50 states.
No, there's 51. You forgot the state of mind. Anyway, we have the list here, and I don't know if we want to go over every single state, even though I would find that interesting, so we're going to do that.
I'm cool with it.
Alabama, there's the Bear Creek Swamp in Prattville. This reminds me of something Ace and I did a couple weeks ago where we talked about urban legends. Well, these are ghost stories. The Bear Creek Swamp in Prattville is home to floating lights, phantom cars, the ghosts of Creek Indians, and the ghost of a mother looking for a lost child who attacks anyone who says the phrase, "We have your baby," 3 times. So if you're in Alabama, don't say "we have your baby" 3 times.
It's the mom version of Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, I have your baby. Take it as out of context as you want.
I'm trying to think of who would have sex with Beetlejuice.
Well, I mean,
ghost prostitute.
Hook her up with this ghost. Or hook him up with this ghost.
Alaska, West High School in Anchorage. Students report seeing a mysterious woman in white and strange noises plague other parts of the school, like the basement. That's boring. Arizona, 27 people have died at the Bird Cage Theater in Tombstone, resulting in multiple ghost sightings daily. Ghost Adventures episode, where they went to that place and they did catch some cool stuff. Arkansas, the Allen House in Monticello is supposedly haunted by a woman who killed herself there. Louisiana Spirits Paranormal Investigation has investigated the spot as well. Good for them. California, Kate Morgan. Why does that name sound familiar? Is that Doc Holliday's wife?
I don't know.
Big Nose Kate Morgan? I'm looking it up because now I'm curious. We're stopping the show right now.
Dun, dun, dun.
Talk amongst yourselves for a few seconds.
But you threw us off. And I got to catch this Pucciana.
That's not a ghost.
No, it's not. It's dark type. I will make every show Pokemon.
Keep talking.
I like how he's looking something up, but I haven't seen him type anything.
He uses his mind.
That's not how computers work.
It could.
Well, maybe it wasn't. I could have sworn.
I mean, I feel like he probably just clicked a link from where he was.
Or he could have just copied.
Copied and pasted.
The name.
Copy and pasted. Doc Holliday wife. What was his wife's name?
I don't know.
Well, it was Big Nose Kate, but it wasn't Kate Morgan, so I apologize. But she haunts the Hotel Del Coronado in San Diego. She traveled with her husband as a con artist and card shark, found dead in the Coronado, and apparently continues to haunt the hotel. Who cares? Colorado, the Stanley Hotel. We already just talked about that. I'm not even going to mention it again. Connecticut, a favorite of Ed and Lorraine Warren of the New England Society for Psychic Research. We've talked about Ed and Lorraine Warren on the show before. Union Cemetery is home to a spirit named Red Eyes, purportedly a pair of red eyes glowing in the darkness, as well as the white lady who was captured on video and stills. You ever notice how many of these ghost sightings are always a lady in white? Like 90% or Victorian clothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should not be seeing people in Victorian clothing in like Cairo, Illinois.
I mean, honestly, if
no.
It's really Victorian clothing. It won't be white.
Yeah.
Delaware. Fort Delaware in Delaware City is said to be haunted by the ghosts of Confederate soldiers imprisoned there during the Civil War. Florida has the Riddle House in West Palm Beach. It's a former funeral parlor said to be haunted by former employees.
Send Batman.
I don't want to talk anymore. let's just go to ours. We'll go to two. Well, actually, we'll go to Illinois, Pennsylvania, and Missouri, since that reflects on all of us. And you can go to people.com and look up ghost stories from every state if you want to read these for yourselves and see. But they're interesting places. Illinois is the McKendree University in Lebanon, Illinois, has several ghosts. Organ music plays in the chapel and feet pace in the bell tower. Bell tower is always spooky. Every Castlevania
I think they're
has
cool.
taught me that.
I've well, never okay, but that's like a medieval bell tower.
As opposed to a Illinois bell tower?
Like a church bell tower?
Yeah. I've never seen one of those either.
I don't know. Churches are pretty creepy.
A student hanged himself there, and the alumni house is reportedly haunted by an entire family. Poor family. Missouri. The Limp Mansion in St. Louis, Missouri is still occupied by members of the Limp family, among the first people in America to brew lager beer. Tragically, thanks to a series of missteps and mismanagement, the family lost its fortune, and four different members committed suicide over a period of years.
Yep.
The house has earned a reputation as one of the most haunted in the country, with strange noises, including a self-playing piano, and goings-on reported. Goings-on. Again, we went to the Limp Mansion. It was very, very cool. Mm-hmm. And finally, Pennsylvania.
Gettysburg.
The Philadelphia Zoo. It's said to be home to a few different full-body apparitions, including a female ghost in a long white dress who stands at the top of the staircase in the John Penn House. Sadly, no ghost animals.
So wasn't there... Well,
it's
I guess it doesn't count as a ghost story.
Animals don't have unfinished business.
Okay, you both talked. let's dial it back.
Wasn't there a story in Pennsylvania about the guy with the messed up face that walked along roads?
Oh, yeah, I forget his name, but one of the things Ace and I talked about where it wasn't paranormal. He was just a dude that like lost his face and the local stories became about this monster that would walk the streets like looking for children and stuff. And yeah, in reality, he just liked to take long walks. But he had lost his face due to an accident or an attack or something.
He didn't want to freak people out or get picked on and
and
harassed.
Instead, they harassed him. So tomorrow is Halloween, and we looked up some facts about Halloween you may not know. Not entirely creepy, but some of them are very cool. I got these from two sites, Mental Floss and Thought Catalog, and they're very, very interesting. Let's start off with, first off, if you are going trick-or-treating tomorrow, well, it's going to rain here, so you're probably not going to be able to, but if you do, please be safe and, you know, take care of your wee ones and, you know, kids, wee ones
are
kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't give them suck-ass costumes. I don't want to see a group of 12-year-old Harlequins running down the street is all
Seriously.
I'm saying. Like, put the booty shorts up. Save them for when you're 15. And you can make some money. So, on with the show. Let's start.
Now that you made it awkward.
Let's start with jack-o'-lanterns. Do you know where jack-o'-lanterns come from?
Pumpkins.
No, actually.
They used to be turnips.
It did.
Yeah.
She's right. And it came from Ireland.
I was going to say it's Ireland.
As do all great things.
Oh, a lantern.
Jack-o'-lantern originated in Ireland with turnips instead of pumpkins. And they're based on a legend about a man named Stingy Jack, who reportedly trapped the devil and only let him go on the condition that Jack would never go to hell. However, when he died, Jack learned that heaven didn't want his soul either after all his devilish dealings. So he's condemned to wander the earth as a ghost for all eternity. His old friend the devil gifted Jack a lump of burning coal, which Jack carried around in a carved-out turnip to light his way. Locals began carving frightening faces into their own gourds to scare off evil spirits, such as Jack of the Lantern. That's where Jack of the Lantern comes from.
Huh. I remember the turnip thing.
Turnip isn't a gourd.
Well, maybe they couldn't afford turnips because of the war. So they got gourds, or those big yellow onions, and they tied them to their belt, which was the style at the time.
Okay.
And back in those days, Nichols had pictures of bumblebees on them. Give me five bumblebees for a quarter, you'd say. Anyway, Celtic people believe that during the festival Samhain, which marked the transition to the new year at the end of the harvest and beginning of the winter, spirits walked the earth. Later, the introduction of All Souls Day on November 2nd, by Christian missionaries perpetuated the idea of a mingling between the living and the dead around that time. I actually, until today, I didn't know what Samhain meant.
You just thought it was a Ghostbusters villain?
I've always known it as a Ghostbusters monster, and I didn't know that Samhain was actually the name of a festival that was the transition from the new year at the end of the harvest. So that was interesting to me. What? You're looking at me
you
like
just,
I should
like,
know
these
things. You just
recapped the same thing three times.
Look.
Well, I noticed some of you weren't paying attention.
I was.
I'm paying attention.
Ghosts wandering around the earth during Samhain, the Celts had to get creative to avoid being terrorized by evil spirits. People would don disguises so they would be mistaken for spirits themselves and be left alone. Hence, you have people dressing up for Halloween to trick the ghosts and leaving them alone.
I knew that one.
There's lots of debate around the origins of trick-or-treating. One theory proposes that during Samhain, Celtic people would leave out food to placate the souls and ghosts and spirits traveling the earth that night. Eventually, people began dressing up as these otherworldly beings in exchange for similar offerings of food and drink. But there are other researchers who speculate that the candy Bonanza, a lot of this isn't mine, this is from these websites, stems from the Scottish practice of guising, itself a secular version of souling. In the Middle Ages, soulers, children and poor adults, would go to local homes and collect food or money in return for prayers said for the dead on All Souls Day. Guisers ditched the prayers in favor of less religious performances like jokes, songs, or other tricks. See, back in the old days, you had to earn candy.
Well,
you didn't just dress up and go door to door with a bag and say, gimme, gimme, gimme. You had to earn that shit.
Are you upset?
I mean, you're still supposed to say trick or treat, but half the kids don't freaking do that anymore.
No, you just open the door and then you're supposed to just hand candy out like it's welfare.
No, they still are supposed to say trick or treat. Little punks.
That's when you trick them.
By giving them floss and
no,
flavored condoms.
You can make candied apples, but use onions instead.
Ooh. Well, there's that. But you can, like, eat all the candy and then reseal the packages and pump it full of air with a syringe. And it's like a pillow of a wrapper.
I would just give them a candied cod. That's a fish. It's a fish that you dip in chocolate. And you give to them. Kids.
That sounds disgusting.
Seriously.
She gross. Puts peanut butter on hot dogs.
I have not done that in a very long time.
So she can't say anything's disgusting.
That sounds better than dipping fish in chocolate.
I mean, honestly, if I were given the choice,
the
I would go.
The two flavors don't blend. You taste one and you taste the other. And I did it purely to cover up the charredness that my dad did whenever he cooked hot dogs.
I'm pretty sure half the people at this table likes pineapple on pizza.
Not I.
No, not you. So I don't want to hear anything about chocolate on fish. I would eat a caramel cod.
Wait a second. Which
I've changed it, by the way. It's now
no,
a caramel,
it's caramel
cod.
But you said chocolate.
Well, I was wrong. It's actually caramel cod. I would eat a caramel cod.
That still sounds
before
gross.
I ate pineapple on pizza.
I'm pretty sure Alien, Ariel and Haley have had chocolate on fish.
Who's the half, like...
You make
who
me
else,
Calvin break.
You make
who
me
else
some caramel
likes pineapple
cod?
On pizza?
Don't you?
Yeah.
Doesn't Allie?
I mean, I don't order it,
yeah,
but I'm not
say,
like super disgusted by it like
we
everyone
are.
Else.
The
is.
Battle lines are drawn once again. The war continues. That's why.
Well,
Coheed
you also
Cameron's
don't like Coke, so
21 Pilots. What's that?
You also don't like Coke.
I like Pepsi, the good soda.
This discussion has completely winged itself from Halloween. Where we talked about
look,
caramel
if I get a Coke
fish,
for Halloween, I'm happy.
And if I get a caramel cod, I'll be ecstatic. In fact, I may make caramel cods tomorrow for Halloween.
When will you have time for this,
it doesn't
mister?
Take,
I have to work.
It doesn't take long.
Where are you going to get the fish?
I'll go to the store. They have a meat department. And in this meat department, you can exchange money for goods and services.
Like your horses and hay?
And then I will take fish home. I'll cook it, and then I will pour caramel on it, and I will bring it to the store, and you will try it.
I mean, if it's cooked, I probably would.
You would.
I would
Because I like
not.
Fish, and I like caramel.
Yes.
I won't. I'm not a huge fan of fish.
But the caramel like really takes the things, flavor out of it.
But I am not going to eat them together.
CJ once brought candied bacon here. Have you had that?
Yeah, that's delicious.
That to me is as disgusting as the thought of caramel.
It's basically caramelized bacon, isn't it?
So okay, so bacon and candied flavor is
no.
Fine.
It's
okay.
Sugar that yeah. you caramelize yeah. as you're cooking the bacon. It's if just you like
caramelize the fish is very different than
dipping
it
in caramel.
In, yes.
Well, then yeah. they shouldn't sound so similar. Because I'm confused.
Well, also, I'm not sure if you could cook fish long enough without yeah. it being disgusting by the time you got
it. You'd have to add it afterwards.
Yeah.
You'd have to, like, make a specific sauce.
I wish Jesse listened to this show. Because Jesse is quite the culinary artist. And I would like him to make me a caramel cod.
I don't think he would.
Would Tim do it?
If you bought him the ingredients, he'd probably do it.
Actually, crap, Tim might do it.
Can we make that a tier on the Podzilla? Donate this amount of money and pick who you want to
How
eat a caramel cod.
How much money would it be?
Wait, can we get Dalton to do it?
That's probably who most people would pick.
Yeah.
$50. That's I'm a down. New tier that's going up. $50. Dalton eats a caramel cod.
I'll text Jesse now.
Yeah, let him know that that's a new tier. There's a reason we don't get Patreon money.
Going to ask. He's probably not going to ask, like, why. He's just going to be like, what's a caramel cod?
There's a reason we don't get money on Patreon, for the record. We
Derek's saving up, apparently.
We don't come up with... All right, Derek, sweeten the deal. $500. Not only will Allie drop the F-bomb for you, but she will also do it with a mouthful of caramel cod. Back to Halloween. Some sources argue that our modern trick-or-treating stems from bell snickling.
What?
A tradition in German-American communities where children would dress in costume and then call on their neighbors to see if the adults could guess the identities of the disguised guests. In one version of the practice, the children were rewarded with food or other treats if no one could identify them. That makes sense.
Not really.
Sort of. Because you would just go to another town that you've never been to yeah. and go trick-or-treat if you're going bell snickling.
Neighbors. They have to know who you are and be able to guess who you are.
Yeah.
But you're wearing a costume.
Right.
To disguise that.
Right.
So it doesn't work if they don't know you at all.
Exactly. So you'd win. So then they give you candy and you run. We watched a video last night about the early Halloween costumes. And honestly, I did not realize. I'd never realized it. The fact that back in those days, before like movies and media and stuff, Halloween costumes were not based on properties. So when you saw people dressed up, they were just like homemade costumes that people made to like be scary or whatever. And to me, that's way cooler than going down to Walmart and picking up, you know, Wonder Woman, Mandy.
Ghostbusters?
That's fucking different and you know it.
Is it though?
Yes.
How much did you spend on that pack?
Nothing yet. Oh, the pack? 70.
Nothing 70.
That's different because that's Ghostbusters.
That's an IP.
He'll wear that outside of Halloween.
Yeah.
That's his con costume.
You don't
now
think
for
Mandy
everything.
Will wear Wonder Woman?
Yeah, but Mandy's not going to go out and actually fight crime dressed as it. I will go hunt ghosts as a Ghostbuster.
I think Mandy would go hunt ghosts with you dressed as Wonder Woman if you asked her.
She didn't do that in the movie. That doesn't make
no,
sense.
No, but if... Well... So? What's your point?
In the movie, they didn't bust the ghost of James Dean, but...
Give them time. Wait till the sequel. I'm sure there's a comic where they did, for the record. The Association.
I'm sure there's a comic where Wonder Woman fights a ghost.
Jesus. Let it go.
Jesse's response, by the way, was, as in the fish.
Let's talk about black cats. We all love black cats. The Association Meow. Of Black Cats and Spookiness actually dates all the way back to the Middle Ages when they were considered a symbol of the devil.
Uh-huh.
And yours is... Centuries later, accused witches were often found to have cats, especially black ones, as companions. People started believing that the cats were witches' familiar, animals that gave them an assist with their dark magic, and the two have been linked ever since.
That's a lot of the reasons, there's quite a few, why a lot of animal shelters will not allow people to adopt black cats during the month of October.
Well, hold on.
What?
Well, hold on, no. Before she explains it, let me explain where my brain went. My brain went to they're afraid that there are witches trying to adopt black cats to assist with their dark magic.
People will hurt the cats.
Oh, okay.
Thinking that they are evil or so they can get rid of them. Yes.
Druids in ancient times used to throw black cats on the fire to help with their. Yeah. That's sad. Hey, here's something fun. The classic Halloween colors trace their origins back to the Celtic festival Samhain. Black represents the death of summer, while orange is emblematic of the autumn harvest season. So if you ever wondered why Halloween is orange and black, Samhain again. You ever see Samhain? He was he had like a robe and a pumpkin head. Yeah. On the real Ghostbusters.
Yes. You have a figure of him.
Yeah, but it's really
dollish. You sense an obsession.
You doing okay there?
No, my wrist said no.
It's likely that bats were present at the earliest celebrations of proto-Halloween, not just symbolically, but
proto-Halloween?
You know, before Halloween was actually Halloween.
Okay.
Not just symbolically, but literally. As part of Samhain, the Celts lit large bonfires, which attracted insects. The insects, in turn, attracted bats, which soon became associated with the festival. Medieval folklore expanded upon the spooky connotation of bats with a number of superstitions built around the idea that bats were the harbingers of death. And they're actually just cute little flying cat things.
Unless they get stuck in your hair.
Well.
Has that ever happened to you?
No, but I just feel like that would be really unsettling.
Yeah.
Something if anything
and terrifying for the creature as well as the person.
And I'm pretty sure they bite.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're not vampires, but they do carry diseases.
Yeah, I was going to say. That.
Otherwise, they are kind of cute.
They are cute.
Whenever they brought you home from the hospital, what got stuck in the house?
That was a bad. Well, no, when. They when you me home?
It was a bird.
Yeah.
And then whenever they brought me home from the hospital, a fruit bat got stuck in the house.
Maybe they should stop leaving the door open.
I don't know how they got in the
it
house.
It was a manse.
But, so my mom was hiding me and Calvin under a blanket while my dad was trying to get this bat out of the house. And Calvin runs out from under the blanket. My mom is trying to stop him. And he comes back with his butterfly net to help our dad catch the bat.
It worked.
Yeah, but you would have, like, dissected it and, like, studied it.
No, I would have set it free.
Or kept it as a pet. Or a familiar as a warlock.
You don't know a lot about bats, do you?
Not a
You
thing.
Don't want to keep them as pets, really.
Why not?
You don't want to know how they take off.
Well, now I do.
They have to defecate to take off. That's why
just like
caves
angels.
Are covered in bat guano.
That's gross.
Yeah. You don't want a bat as a pet.
How about a zoo bat?
Well,
I'm sure they do the same thing. They're still bats.
Probably just
no, you throw
more
them
annoying.
Out of the ball. That's how they take off.
All right. Moving on. The act of going door to door for handouts has long been a part of Halloween celebrations, but up until the middle of the 20th century, the treats kids received were not necessarily candy, toys, coins. Oh, wait. I messed that up. I typed it wrong.
They were
not necessarily candy. Toys, coins, fruit, and nuts were just as likely to be given out. The rise in popularity of trick-or-treating in the 1950s inspired candy companies to make a marketing push with small, individually wrapped confections.
Yay, capitalism.
People obliged out of convenience, but candy didn't dominate at the exclusion of all other treats until parents started fearing anything unwrapped in the 1970s.
Yep, because of psycho people that would poison things and put stuff in it. And
I got a story about that.
You mean like two people?
One, actually.
Yeah.
We'll get to that
in a
second.
I thought there was one that did razor blades or something, and then one that did drugs.
I think the razor blades is an urban legend.
Oh.
I don't think it's ever... I mean, I'm sure they have found stuff in candy, but no one's, like, died except one kid, apparently. I have a story about that. According to some stories, a candy maker at the Wonderly Candy Company in Philadelphia invented the revolutionary tricolor candy in the 1880s known as...
Candy corn.
Candy corn. Everyone's least favorite Halloween
treat. I used
to
like candy corn.
That's not true. Have you ever had those circus peanuts?
Oh yeah,
he's right.
Those are the worst.
He's right.
I used to hate getting milk duds.
I enjoy candy corn a little bit.
Yeah.
I will avoid the circus peanuts.
Yeah, circus peanuts, and I never liked milk duds. I gave those to somebody
else. It's a candy that nobody has taken credit for inventing. I'm not kidding.
Because it's not really a candy.
Exactly.
Well, no one knows who made candy corn. This is just a story that the Wonderly Candy Company Philadelphia invented it. I don't think anyone actually knows. They didn't become a widespread phenomenon until another company bought the candy to the brought the candy to the masses in 1898. At the time, candy corn was called chicken feed and sold in boxes that read "something worth crowing for." Originally just generically autumnal candy because of corn's association with harvest time, candy corn became Halloween specific when trick-or-treating rose to prominence in the 50s.
Huh. Now they have little candy pumpkins.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would rather do the candy pumpkins than the candy corn.
I mean,
corn.
It's the exact same stuff.
They taste exactly the
They're
same.
They're just shaped different. And personally, I think the thickness of the pumpkins is kind of gross. Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I've had candy corn, but I haven't been
Yeah,
I've been trick or treating in a long time, and even then,
my
even when I was a kid, I
used to buy candy corn for in the house every now and again. Like, she wouldn't get a big bag of it, but she'd get a little bit.
My mom respected me more.
Wow!
So she would bring like M&Ms and stuff.
I mean, we had that too.
Maybe I should buy some candy corn tomorrow and just try it and see how.
Yeah,
it goes.
I don't know why you're hating so much on candy corn. It's not that bad. Like know.
It's sugar.
Yeah, like it's just candy.
It's no Snicker. I mean, there are so many great options for candy for kids. Why would you stick them with candy corn? That's like getting a soda and you buy Royal Crown. You have access to both Pepsi and Coke.
Hashtag still better than Pepsi.
Well, you're wrong, and the Lord will judge you for it someday.
They lie to me.
So you the candy, poison candy that you mentioned, that's a big thing. You know, even when I was growing up, my parents like inspected my candy, and if it was something that was unwrapped,
that's
you couldn't have it.
Because they made whole like news reports and everything
about
it.
Because that's the media, once again. It's the same media that warned you about killer bees.
I watched the documentary on the actual like Halloween stuff.
I hate the media and how they get people all worked up into a frenzy. Like right now, they got this this invasion coming into the United States. You know, no, that's a different show.
This is about Halloween.
We're not scaring
Thursday.
Away our
Wait,
viewers.
Invasion of
this
what?
Is about Halloween.
Immigrants.
Oh,
non-American okay. citizens. And Trump is talking about no
Halloween.
No, not gonna do it. We're gonna talk about something less scary: child murders.
Can I get candy corn? That's just Trump's wig or hair.
Oh,
like just to be funny.
Shape.
No.
Shape.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't
shape.
Want it to be furry.
No,
not furry.
I'm sure furry candy
no,
corn.
No. I don't want any of that.
Now, here's the question.
But it'd be funny.
No.
Here's the question. What would you rather eat? Furry candy corn or a caramel cod?
What?
The best part
Neither.
About caramel
Is
cod?
Is the furry part of candy corn just like cotton candy?
No, it's
because
fur.
That's literally what
no,
a
it's
furry
it's,
sugar
it's,
is.
It's actual fur. Wow. It's fur. The candy corn's been out for so long that it's growing mold.
Ew.
Do you know
that's
so
different than fur.
So would you rather eat that or the caramel cod? Now, keep in mind, one of the great things about caramel cods is that they come on a stick.
They come on a stick.
You are making this real hard for Jesse.
I assume you put the stick in the fish's mouth. And then you...
Oh, it's a whole cod.
It's a whole cod.
It's a whole fish.
It's a whole cod.
So gross.
You get the full thing.
This is getting worse and worse and worse.
I'm pretty sure that the smell of this thing is going to make you not want to ever eat anything.
Well, I don't want to be there when he cooks it. I just want to eat the final product.
Yeah, and it'll still be warm.
I'm pretty sure you're not going to want to eat the final product.
It'll still be warm. It'll smell like fish, but also sweet like caramel.
Mm. My taste buds are tingling. Now, I want to put an asterisk next to it is that I want the fish to be degutted and deboned.
I would hope so.
Because I don't want to bite into like a whole fish that just
how
came out
it,
of the river.
How are you going to keep it on the stick?
Yeah. Well, I feel like you put the stick
like
in the fish's mouth.
You have to.
And when you pour the caramel on it, the caramel will seal
it
all.
Hold it together?
It'll hold it together. You let that dry and harden up a little bit. Once you, if you can take the caramel cod and bang it against the table, then you're good to go.
Have you ever cooked a fish?
I have been around when fish has been cooked, yes.
Okay, have you ever cooked a fish that wasn't bought from the store already cut into
its fillets?
I have gutted a fish before, if that's what you're asking. If you're asking me
have
if I'm
you?
Cool, yeah.
Ugh.
Have you ever gutted a fish?
No.
Have you ever clipped its skin and ripped it off?
No.
Because I have.
I never wish to. Yeah, I will buy it at the store, already processed. Thank you.
It's not fun.
No.
My dad used to have me gut fish when we go fishing, and we take them
home. That's why I never wanted to go fishing, between that and the worms.
Yeah, it was my least favorite part. I would take the worms over actually gutting and pulling out fish guts and intestines and getting it on your clothes. Disgusting.
Yuck. I played with the worms.
He did. He put worms in his pocket.
That's Why true. Would you do that?
First, he put fish in his pocket, and then my mom washed the pants, and there were just like fish stuck in her washer.
I was like five.
Jesus.
She was super upset, but she couldn't, like, she had to explain it to him in a way that he would understand. She was like, you can't put fish in your pocket. They need water to live. They're just going to die. And so the next day, he comes home, and he has worms in his pocket, and before she can say anything, he goes, I put dirt in there. It's okay.
I was five.
Where did you get the fish from?
A pond.
How does a five-year-old just go to a pond and get fish?
They were little minnows.
Oh. Oh, my gosh.
I thought you were like putting bass in your pocket or something. My God.
No. I'm pretty sure my mom would have noticed that before they got into the washer.
So you're judging me for caramel cods, and you're wearing fish as a fashion statement.
No, I'm like keeping fish as pets, but
in your pocket.
You know, yeah. I didn't candy them and eat them.
Because you were five. You didn't know any better. If you were a little older and a little wiser, you would have wrapped them in caramel, put a stick in them, and chew. Go fin first, by the way. You don't start at the head. That's gross. It's like a pizza with a stuffed crust. You don't eat the stuffed crust first.
We have you eat the drifted tail. From Halloween again. We are no longer talking about Halloween anymore.
Okay, so... talking about people poisoning candy, and again, how serious of a thing it was. And before we talk about that, Lindsay, once again, you got robbed of Halloween for many years because a legitimate murder happened where you lived.
Yep. It was... oh... 90, I think, is when it happened. But yeah, a girl a year ahead of me in school was murdered. So we got... nighttime Halloween band in Oil City, Pennsylvania.
Did she die around Halloween?
They found her the day after, as far as that goes. The murder itself didn't get solved until 2005, and it was her uncle that did it. And I think they finally lifted the no nighttime trick-or-treating in 2007.
I did read that kids that like die on Halloween are more likely to be killed by a family member than a stranger. Mm-hmm. So...
I mean, in general.
Yeah, I think that's just a general thing.
Yeah. But yeah, so Lindsay from second grade on had daytime trick-or-treating, which is why trick-or-treating for me ended after about sixth grade, because it just wasn't fun anymore, other than taking my little brother.
Well, a lot of that fear comes from an incident that happened in 1974. This is a true story. People purposely poisoning strangers' Halloween candy is mostly the stuff of urban legend. But this 1974 case in Deer Park, Texas, involves a father who laced his son's pixie sticks with cyanide with the intent to kill him so he could collect on his insurance policy. The father, Ronald Clark O'Brien, had fallen deeply into debt, so he decided to claw his way out of his self-inflicted money hole by murdering his son.
Didn't he have more, though, for the neighborhood kids, too, that were
No, he was going to kill his he was going to kill his family and neighborhood. Actually, I think it mentions in here.
Like, he had two kids, and then there were, like, three neighbors or something.
He purchased potassium cyanide, sprinkled it inside five pixie stick straws, crudely stapled them shut, and handed them out to his son, daughter, and three other neighborhood kids. To avoid suspicion, his plot was to kill them all and blame a neighbor. After trick-or-treating, O'Brien's 11-year-old son, Timothy, apparently at his father's urging, swallowed the pixie sticks powder and complained that it tasted bitter. He soon began vomiting uncontrollably and was dead before reaching the hospital.
Which then freaked out the other kids, so of course they didn't eat it.
O'Brien was found guilty of murder and died via lethal injection. He subsequently earned the nicknames The Candyman and The Man Who Killed Halloween. So, it's not completely out of the realm of reality.
Yeah, but again, family member.
Mm-hmm.
Right. His own father murdered his 11-year-old son to collect insurance policy. He was going to murder other kids, too. You
I mean the thought
also
of,
didn't
the,
have to be done on Halloween. Yeah. Like he could have just given kids candy and
yeah, but this was a good excuse
to blame someone else
because there's the kids are getting candy from so many people. Like it was smart the way he did it, but
I mean if you do get a treat that looks like it has
been tampered with,
repackaged, that one's probably okay to just not eat. To just leave alone. Because if I was handing a pixie stick that was stapled back shut, I'd be real concerned.
And the person that gave it to you is watching you going, eat it.
You need to eat this. Why aren't you eating this?
Swallow it.
Not going to eat this.
Eat that caramel cod is what you'll be hearing soon.
No.
When I was a kid, I always got gobstoppers.
Like those were good.
Or those are the big balls, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't like those. All I wanted was sweet tarts.
I like sweet tarts.
Sweet tarts was my candy. And then they give you Smarties, and you'd be like, oh, go to hell.
I liked Smarties.
I mean, Smarties are the Coke of the city.
I always looked forward to my candy necklaces.
Sweet tarts and Smarties are different.
And sweet tarts are better.
They are.
Far superior.
Yes.
Then you get them in those little packages, and there'd be three of them.
Mm-hmm. I really like the jumbo size
Smarties.
The big Smarties.
Chewy one. Oh, yeah.
Those
were good, too.
Pretty sure the last year I trick-or-treated, my dad stole my candy.
Well, yeah, that's the right of the parent to steal the candy.
not my candy. Because I would be like
He was eating most of it. And then one day he came downstairs and I was eating it because it was my candy. And he goes, why are you eating my candy? I'm like, this is not your candy.
Well, I'm sure you probably had the days of you and I both like older candy. You get like candy cigarettes and crap in your bags.
I did get candy cigarettes and I would pretend I was smoking them and pretend I was cool. So back then cigarettes weren't as bad for you because you didn't know about it.
The bubblegum cigars that they would pass out to.
I remember when you could buy the candy cigarettes at gas stations.
Bad idea. Like who thought
I remember
candy
the,
cigarettes
the
were
bubblegum
a good
ones I remember our gas station having, but I don't remember them having the actual like candy ones.
Just as a PSA to any parents that are out there getting ready for Halloween tomorrow, if you want to give your kids good candy, here's a list of acceptable candy. Snickers.
M&M's.
M&M's. Sweet Tarts.
Milky Ways.
Skittles.
Debatable.
Skittles.
Oh, no.
Reese's
no.
Peanut Butter
Skittles.
Cups.
Skittles. Not
yes.
Skittles.
Skittles.
Skittles are delicious.
Taste the mediocrity.
And Reese's Skittles. Peanut Butter Cups.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are fine. Nerds.
Dum Dums. Tootsie Pops.
None of those things. If I want a Tootsie Pop, I'll go to the barbershop and get a haircut. He's got them sitting on a bowl alongside a magazine from 2004.
No.
And highlights for kids.
I used to get highlights.
I know you did. Did you get the tiger poster too?
No, that was Zoo Books.
Oh, my bad. But if anything, if you come out of the show with anything, it's don't give the circus peanuts.
Yes. Agreed.
Legitimately, the one thing we can all agree on.
And I would rather eat actual packing peanuts.
Yeah.
Also, I'm going to go to a circus someday, and I guarantee you that's not what they give out with peanuts.
No, it's not.
But they're actual peanuts.
Yeah.
If you want a really killer treat this Halloween, go to the store, buy a package of small cods, make up some caramel cods, and give those to kids on Halloween. It's the gift that keeps on giving. They're also great
you
at Christmas
might
time.
Get arrested.
For giving out caramel cods?
Caramel fish.
I'm
just
pretty sure.
It has to be
cod specific.
No, think about
just
it.
Get Swedish fish.
You're giving children a high dose of sugar and fish. Half of them are going to throw it up.
Mm-hmm.
And you will be arrested
more
because
than
the parents
half
will think
will
it's
throw
poison.
It up. More than half. Probably all.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I've never had caramel cod. But
really?
But I assume.
Oh, really?
But I assume it's a fantastic treat. Wash it down with an ice cold Pepsi.
Ew.
This Halloween. That's our Halloween spectacular.
Oh, goodness.
We learned some things. We had some laughs. We shared some.
We invented a new dish.
All right, to be fair, The Simpsons did it first.
We invented a new way to torture Dalton.
So you're wondering, Shannon, why are you harping on this caramel cod so much? You wonder what the reference is. There's some people out there that probably got it. But in one of The Simpsons episodes, the Treehouse of Horror, when Marge and her sisters are witches, and they're going to steal the Flanders kids and eat them, they instead give them gingerbread men, and then they start getting candy from around the neighborhood so they don't kill the kids. And Marge says something like, I got a gingerbread house, whatever. And then one of her sisters says, I got a caramel cod. And it's just a fish on a stick
covered in caramel,
and she just bites into the tail. So, but there's a web series that actually takes these things in TV shows and makes them. What is it called?
That made the milk steak?
Yeah, that made the milk steak. Something Babish, ew. I think. Oh, I'm sorry,
Binging
Cody.
With Babish?
Possibly. I don't remember the name, but Cody is going to.
There's also Nerdy Nummies.
It's not that.
It's not that.
I'm pretty sure it's Babish.
There's another one.
But I think that if we do make the caramel cod, that it actually, we could start a trend. So we're going to jump on that.
If it's not a whole fish, I will try it. If it's just a filet.
We might leave the head
off. This is going to be like a Tide Pod trend. You realize that, right?
But this is at least actual food.
Well, it's still going to send people to the hospital.
If you can swallow it down, I think it'll stay. I think it'll stay. We'll find out, and we'll put it on Podzilla's YouTube page. That'll be the start of the new channel. All right, we're going to get out of here. Again, happy Halloween, everybody. Be safe out there tomorrow. There will be no Pro Wrestling Unscripted. We will be having our Halloween party here at the store. There will also be no CCW Live, if you're wondering about that. So be safe out there. Have fun. Watch a scary movie. Enjoy yourselves. Halloween only comes once a year until I'm president. Then every month. Until then, from the entire I Want to Believe gang, happy Halloween. And go have fun. Eat candy fish. Good night. We'll be right back.